We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. Researchers have learned that while there are no innate differences in what girls and boys are capable of learning, boys and girls do develop and learn differently. At the Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls, located on Bryden Road, girls take center stage academically and in leadership roles. Joining me this evening are the principal of the Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls, Teresa Pettis, and teacher Sam Leopold. Welcome to Teacher Talk, Teresa and Sam.
Thank you.
Hi, Sue. Thank you. Thank you for asking us here this evening.
Well, you know, Teresa, I have a little confession here. Last fall, I came to your school. We visited your school when I was with an educational group called Delta Kappa Gamma. And many of our members are retired teachers and that, but we're still very much involved and interested in education. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed by the facility, the building, the girls that we met, the conditions of the hallways. And then we got an earful about the academics, and that also was impressive. And I know we're going to get to all of those things as we talk tonight. But first of all, let's learn a little bit about the two of you. Teresa, tell me about your professional experience as an educator, especially with the Columbus City Schools.
Well, Sue, I always hesitate when I give my story because every time I do, it makes it very aware of what my age is. But I came into administration a little later than most. I was a teacher for 26 years, 18 of those years in the middle school, teaching mathematics. And then I've been administrator. I'm embarking upon my 10th year. Mm-hmm. I've been with Columbus City Schools now, I do believe, for 17 of those years. And I've had this wonderful opportunity with the girls' school for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. And Teresa, what were some of the schools in which you taught and were an administrator with Columbus?
Here in Columbus, I started my career at Kent Elementary School, which is no longer a school in existence. And then I left and went to Ohio. And I came back and I was a teacher, an eighth grade teacher at Mohawk, which, as you know, is Afrocentric.
Right.
When I left education, I came back and went into Franklin Alternative Middle School. And then I went into the PAR program. From there, administration, came back to Franklin Alternative as an assistant principal, was promoted to Southmore Middle School, and then had the wonderful opportunity to be the founding principal of Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls.
You know, and that's really such a wonderful story because it does show you how you can really expand in your career in the Columbus City Schools if that's something you desire. You can stay in the classroom, but there are also other opportunities as well, whether they're in supervision, whether they're in administration, whether they're in mentoring, such as in PAR. Well, Sam, let's learn a little bit about you. You are a teacher at, can I use the letters here, or do we always say the?
No, the girls really prefer CCPSG, so please. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So tell us about your career with Columbus City Schools, Sam, and how you landed at CCPSG.
Well, I've just finished my 25th year. And I've taught grades 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. I even was a principal for 4 years. And I enjoyed that, but I went back into teaching because I missed the kids.
Uh-huh. So, well, what did you teach when you were in the classroom?
Well, I've worked with grades 1 through 8. Mm-hmm. I started at Linmore, 7th and 8th grade, went to Mifflin, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And then from there went to Old Orchard. Mm. And started in a 1-2 split in 3 years in a row. Someone retired above me, so I kept moving up. And then I was a resource teacher there for a couple years. And then I went into administration and decided I wanted to be a teacher again. And I went back into gifted, and that was 11 years ago.
Wow.
And I did Eclipse for 8 of those years.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wanted to go back into middle school. And so 3 years ago, my supervisor asked me if I would be willing to work at the all-girls middle school. And yes, I was very excited about that. And I'm very proud to be one of the founding teachers there.
All right.
Yeah, it's best place. You know, I hope I spend the rest of my career there.
Terrific, terrific. Well, that's quite a testament to that school and to the students and staff there. You know, I've always found, well, after I retired from teaching with Columbus City, I did a lot of work with professional development for the state. And I always found that the middle school teachers were the most creative. I was a high school teacher.
Okay.
And yeah, okay, laugh at that one, Teresa. But no, I always found they were the most creative. They really knew how to work with the kids so well. And it was something that I wasn't particularly good at when I did a little stint in actually junior high. So I really admire the work that you guys are doing. Teresa, could you give me a little history of CCPSG, I'm going to try and get this acronym right now. But anyway, could you give me a little history of your school and, you know, how it actually began and why it was created?
Well, a lot of people give me credit for the thinking of this, but it wasn't me. It was Dr. Jean T. Harris. It was her vision to offer options to the parents of
right.
our district. And at the time, she was thinking of three schools, the gender-based school, the girls' school, and the boys' school, and also the international high school.
We have all of them.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that when she brought me in, they had pretty much kind of put the program together in their head of how they wanted it to be. But they did allow me to think outside the box. As a matter of fact, they pulled Mr. Owens, who is the principal of the all-boys school. They pulled both of us out of our present administrative assignment and allowed us to thoroughly implement and develop this plan by going around and visiting other gender-based schools throughout the states. I learned a lot in that because it's one thing to read about it, but it's another thing to actually see it in practice.
Right.
So I was very, very honored of the opportunity. But to be honest with you, and I have to admit, and I've said this earlier to Dr. Harris, that I really didn't think that I was going to really fit in with the all girls because, quite frankly, I've always gravitated to boys. I have one child and he's a son. But once I start to learn about how girls grow and develop, and then when I actually opened up the school, I can't imagine being a principal of any other environment than an all girls environment.
Wow, that's a wonderful testimony. Do you have any insights as to why Dr. Harris, besides the choice issue, why Dr. Harris wanted to go with some of these single-gender schools? I know that there's, I've already mentioned in my intro that there is research that has been done. Do you have any insights as to what were some of the reasons behind this?
Well, I don't want to feel that I can speak for Dr.
Right.
Harris. However, I do know this with working close with Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris is always thinking about how she can better the educational opportunities for the children in this district. And as you said, research does show that some girls and boys do learn better when they're in an all-girls or all-boys environment. So since we did not have that option in our school, and since Dr. Harris is always searching for the best educational opportunities, it just seemed right to put that into our district as well.
And do you have a separate, I know you have the Columbus City School mission, but do you have a separate mission or an addition to the Columbus City School mission that you'd like to share with us?
I do. Our vision is in line with the district's mission, and it is to prepare and nurture young ladies through a rigorous college preparatory curriculum so they will be able to enter into high school programs with high academic skills and confidence, and that each student will acquire skills to articulate, think critically, lead confidently, and flourish in an ever-changing global society.
Wow. And that's quite a tall order. And yet that is something that we're looking at. Actually, the language is very similar to some of the things that are coming out of the Columbus Education Commission, too. So you're right on target there, that's for sure. Well, now, Teresa, I'm talking with Teresa Pettis, principal of the Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls. Teresa, I'm going to ask you to describe some of the factors which makes your school unique. And we already know one of them is it's all girls.
That's correct.
But not the staff.
No. No, that's true. And I get that question all the time. Do I have any men on staff? And I do believe
we have
Mr.
Sam Leopold sitting
right
here.
We have Mr. Leopold, and I brought a male teacher, but I do believe we have four male teachers. Mm-hmm. But I have said to the girls from the very beginning, as you know, we opened our doors in 2010, that we are uniquely different.
Right.
Yes, we are an all-girls school, but past that, we had to be uniquely different in other ways as well. One was to take away the distraction on what you are to wear to go to school. That's why I wanted to implement a full, complete uniform, which has worked extremely well with us. Going into the program, each and every day, and we have begun this tradition from the very, very beginning, we call it morning salute. every morning, all students in all grade levels, as you know, we start off with a sixth grade and we are now full sixth through eighth, mm-hmm. but all students, all staff, we all gather into the auditorium every morning at 7:25, and this is how we start our day each and every day. The reason why I put that as a very important tradition in our school, because I wanted everyone to feel like each day was a new beginning, and it was a new focus, and our focus is always centered around learning, and it was my way of starting everybody off on the right track.
It sounds like it also would promote the whole family aspect of a school, because we're not just moving with our own little group of peers throughout our classes, but we're also together and looking around and seeing, hey, we're all part of this organization.
Correct. And we all have a responsibility that we work together as a team in order to accomplish our goals. Another tradition has been town meetings. We have town meetings twice a month. And during those town meetings, it's very student participatory. We have students give speeches. We have students introduce guests. And we also have a lot of guests from the community. Now, we've been very, very fortunate to have partners such as the Links, the Columbus chapter of Links, and they have brought several members of the community of different mm-hmm. careers and even a politician. And we've also had the ROCS program. That's the Girls Empowering Program under Dr. Lisa Hinkleman, who is the founder of that. And we've had Girl Scout, Sister to Sister, the Girl Scout program. So we have had an opportunity to bring a plethora of different type of careers and talk about colleges and what it takes actually for a young lady to succeed and to grow in life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, those are wonderful opportunities that they've had. Now, what about sports? People are always going to ask about that. And middle school, certainly sports aren't as organized usually as they are at the high school level. But what's your situation?
Well, Sue, I'm glad that you asked that question.
I'm glad
as you
do
know,
too.
Our first year, we were just sixth grade, so we couldn't participate in the middle school sports. So we've only have participated in the sports for 2 years, uh-huh. and we have all of them that all the other middle schools have: volleyball, basketball, softball, and track. But this year, which is our second year, only our second year, we were softball city champs.
Whoa.
And we have our coach right here, Mr. Leopold. And also his co-partner, Miss Eberly, but they took our girls all the way to City Champs. And we also were runner-ups in the City Champ for track as well. So for 2 years, we've did extremely well.
Wow, that is really, really good. Now, I understand that you also have at your school a student advisory council. And I'd like to hear what that is. Is that like a student council that we typically hear about? Or
no.
Is this a little different?
Well, it's a little different. We have two things. And one I think that you're talking about is a student ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that the girls have to submit an application. They must have a 3.0 or higher GPA. They go through an interviewing process, and then they are selected. I normally go select anywhere between 12 to 15 girls. This year, I was very, very happy to have our girls that are leaving and going to high school, they were part of that interview panel. But these girls are basically our cheerleaders. They go out with me on recruiting visits. They are the spokespersons for CCPSG. They absolutely carry themselves and emulate what we stand for, which is well-read, well-spoken, mm-hmm. and poised. Our advisory program that you're referring to, all of the girls participate in that. We have one period out of the day on Tuesdays and Thursdays that the entire school is involved in advisory program. We mix up the girls so they're not necessarily with the same group of girls that they travel with for their core subjects.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And during those times, and the teachers are basically the facilitators of that, but it does allow the girls to talk about those barriers, those non-academic barriers that may interfere with them being totally successful. And we also talk about things that are going into in the world that especially has the interest in young women. So our advisory program has been extremely powerful. And this is where the ROCS program has been very beneficial as well, because the ROCS program, fortunately, we've had them for all 3 years. And they also have brought their program and have shared that with our girls as well.
Wow. Well, it sounds as if we're really looking at the total person here when we're looking at how we're educating the girls at your school. But let's talk about the education aspect of it. Sam Leopold, you're the gifted and talented teacher. And I'm sure you are gifted and talented at CCPSG. But let's talk about the curriculum. Let's talk about the curricular focus. Tell us about that now. Tell us about what these girls are learning and what's behind it.
Well, Columbus City Schools has what they call common core values, and we focus on that curriculum just like any other school. But what I see at CCPSG is something that I think would be a great model for every middle school, is we take that curriculum and we put a rigor to it that holds high expectations for the students and for the teachers. If you go into the teacher's lounge at our school during lunch, a lot of times conversations are about certain students and how we're going to get those students to perform better. And the teachers really care about their students. So when we look at the core value and the curriculum, we're not just trying to think of, you know, how we can get through the year, how we can, you know, teach this subject. You know, we're about teaching the students, not just teaching a subject. And when we teach those values, we want them to take those values and not only do well in the achievement test, which is important.
Of course.
You know, we talk about that a lot. But we want them to have values that they instill inside of them that they can take on into college and on to life after.
Well, what would some of those values be then? I mean, what kinds of things are you trying to help them with that will prepare them for college and life after?
Yeah. Well, I know one...
are we talking like study skills or conceptualizing, synthesizing?
Well, I know two. I'll talk about two skills specifically. One is... basic skills on how to do an interview for a job.
Okay.
And I know when I work with the girls that I work with, we talk about that a lot.
Right.
And we start with the handshake and how to be well-spoken. And so we go through the importance of being able to impress people, have a good first impression. And that works not just now, but in the future. So we do job interviews and we critique that, and then we carry that on into different tournaments like mock trial and debate, where they have to get in front of people and present themselves. So we really spend a lot of time focusing on how you present yourself. That's one example. Second example is a simple skill of being able to, I know Ms. Pettis really loves math, and I know she'll like this example, because we talk to the girls a lot about how to take care of yourself. You know, for instance, how to manage your checking account, how to manage your bills, real life skills, and not to be, because I know I tell my girls all the time, same thing I tell my daughters. I have two sons, two daughters, so I kind of teach my girls at the CCPSG as if they're my daughters. So what I tell them is, you want to be self-sufficient. You don't want to have to depend upon someone else to take care of you. I mean, it's great you get married and have a, you know, wonderful relationship there, but you still want to be able to take care of yourself. And so we teach them math skills, how to be able to handle a checking account. How much money do you think you're going to have to make, you know, to have the kind of lifestyle you want, and what kind of jobs are going to match up with that, and then what kind of colleges.
So it sounds like girl power is definitely a part of not only a lot of the social things that they're learning, but they're also, it's also a part of their academics as well.
Yes, definitely.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Sam, as I mentioned before, you're the gifted and talented teacher. What about the students that you, do you accept only the brightest students at your school, or you know, are you helping your students to achieve that level of being considered gifted and talented? How does that work, and what are you doing?
What am I doing? In the whole
yeah. aspect of being, of the gifted and talented
yes.
program.
What I do several things. First of all, I try to recruit as many girls to come to the school as possible.
Okay.
So I think it's the best place to be. But, you know, we have 150 identified students, and that's about a third of our population. But I believe all students have some sort of giftedness inside of them. And we work in the Columbus City Schools, we work with a cluster model.
Mm-hmm.
So we not only pull students and work with them, but I go into the classroom and I work with the teachers all the time, every day. And so all the students are being able to participate in my gifted and talented lessons. So, and I'm always looking for areas of strength in students. You know, maybe they're not gifted in reading or math, but maybe there's another area that they're gifted in that we can focus on, like the arts or drama. So, I mean, the teacher's always looking to find that area of giftedness in every student.
Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about the fact that you are also a STEM school. And Teresa, I'm going to ask you, could you just very briefly explain what we mean by a STEM school?
Well,
and then how you developed it in your school.
I need to make a correction because we are not a STEM school. That's okay. However, it's funny that you should say that because we are now part of a grant that is going to start a STEM club in our school.
Okay.
So you must have kind of knew that somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyways, this grant is with Ohio State University's Office of Diversity and Inclusion, and they are actually going to start that next year, and they're going to target about 30 seventh graders, and they are going to have a program that is going to consist of 9 monthly interactive hands-on career exploration workshops targeting students with interest and promise in the STEM-related areas.
And we're talking about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. And they're going to bring various people from their university in areas in dentistry and also engineering, nursing, optometry, medicine, College of Food, Agricultural and Environmental Science workshops. So I am truly excited to have this opportunity for our girls, and I can't wait to partner with them.
Well, it sounds like your girls have had lots and lots of opportunity. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the results of these opportunities, because I know that your school has, even though it's been in existence only since 2010, you are already receiving honors and awards. And we just have a couple minutes left, so I'd like to talk about some of these honors and awards that have come your way, and I know that they have been earned. So, Sam, how about telling us about that?
I'll go through a list real quick with you. First of all, I want to say that these awards, I've worked with the girls on most of these, but the teachers, every award involves teachers coming together.
And teacher input is invaluable. So, well, just tell me about some of them.
Yeah, we've just this past school year, our girls won the Central Ohio Debate Championship that takes place at Capital University. Our girls also received the highest possible score at the mock trial tournament, and that's 2 years in a row that we've done that. And there was only 2 middle schools in Columbus that got that ranking. 9 of our girls won Invention Convention Awards. We placed first place in the middle school writing tournament, first place in middle school Battle of the Books, 2nd place in a middle school chess tournament. We had 6 students participate in the regional and state finals of the Power of the Pen. 2 of our students finished in the top 3 of the Columbus Spelling Bee. We made the state finals for the National History Day. We're the only middle school to do that.
Wonderful.
We participated and were in the top 5 for a district math competition.
Where was your school when I was that age? I want to go to this school.
And we had one girl that there was a Laws of Life essay competition put on by Ohio State where 5,000 different students did a writing, and she came in 2nd place.
Wow. And you have to be so proud of your students. And I'm glad Sam brought out the fact that a lot of this is possible, though, because of the teachers who got involved, who made these things available to the girls, and they were able to achieve. Well, we are out of time, and I have to tell you, it's been delightful having both of you on here. I hope that maybe sometime you'll come back and we'll learn a little bit more about the progress your school is making.
Absolutely.
I want to thank Principal Teresa Pettis and Teacher Sam Leopold. They're from the Columbus City Preparatory School for Girls, and I want to thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank
it's
you.
Been enlightening
thank
and
you.
Really delightful having you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes our program. Please listen to Teacher Talk the 1st and 3rd Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Misiak wishing you a good night.